morning. Today we're going to talk about some things in 1 John. And 1 John is written by the Apostle John, who also wrote the Gospel of John. And he's talking to his people, his churches, about some problems that are happening in the church. In 1 John 1, 5-7, he says this. This is the message we heard from Jesus and now declare to you. God is light, and there is no darkness in him at all. So we are lying if we say we have fellowship with God, but go on living in spiritual darkness. We are not practicing the truth. But if we are living in the light, as God is in the light, then we have fellowship with each other, and the blood of Jesus, his Son, cleanses us from all sin. So John is reassuring them and reaffirming them in their faith, but he's also setting up a very important dichotomy for them. He's saying you're either living in the light or you're living in the darkness. And the way that you're going to tell these things is in a variety of ways. And he's going to give us 5 ways that we can see if we're living in the light. Today we're just going to look at one of those 5 ways. But he says the person who walks in the light loves his brothers and sisters, identifies Jesus as God's son, grows in his relationship with God, heeds God's commands, and turns to God for forgiveness. On the flip side of that, the person who walks in the darkness, hates his brothers, denies Jesus as God's son, loves the world, disobeys God's commands, and denies God's forgiveness. So a person who walks in the light loves his brothers and his sisters, in contrast to the person who walks in the darkness who hates his brothers and sisters. 1 John 2, 9-11 says, if anyone claims I am living in the light, but hates a fellow believer, that person is still living in darkness. Anyone who loves a fellow believer is living in the light and does not cause others to stumble. But anyone who hates a fellow believer is still walking and living in darkness. Such a person does not know the way to go, having been blinded by the darkness. There is no middle ground for John. You cannot be walking in the gray, as far as John is concerned. You're either walking in the light or you're walking in the darkness. And the way that he's saying this today is, are you loving your brothers and sisters? And not just the brothers and sisters that look like you, that sound like you, that are sitting in the churches with you, but all people. Are you loving people? Sounds familiar to some things that Jesus said, doesn't it? John says, this is the message you have heard from the beginning. We should love one another. We must not be like Cain, who belonged to the evil one and killed his brother. And why did he kill him? Because Cain had been doing what was evil and his brother had been doing what was righteous. So don't be surprised, dear brothers and sisters, if the world hates you. If we love our brothers and sisters who are believers, it proves that we have passed from death to life. But a person who has no love is still dead. Anyone who hates another brother or sister is really a murderer at heart. And you know that murderers don't have eternal life within them. So he says that Cain is here the antithesis of loving your brother. And it may seem obvious that obviously Cain didn't love his brother because he killed him. But there's a lot of context in here that the Jewish people would have been thinking about when he was referencing the story. And if you don't remember the story of Cain and Abel, it's the account of the first murder in the Bible. Cain and Abel each offered sacrifices to God. Cain's sacrifice was rejected. Abel's sacrifice was accepted. This made Cain very jealous of Abel. And in his rage and in his anger and in his hatred, he killed his brother because God did not accept his sacrifice. And so John says, this is what it's like to not love your brother. It's just like Cain killing Abel. That's the equivalent that he's making. So if you're not loving your brother or sister, you may as well be Cain and just be murdering them, is what John is saying. It's the same thing. It's equivalent for John. To be compared to Cain today would be saying that you're Stalin or Hitler or someone like that. And that's what he's saying to these people in his churches, the people that he loves, the people that he's shepherding. He's telling them, if you don't love your brothers and sisters, that is who you are like. You are like Cain. You are like Stalin. Josephus writes about Cain and his descendants and says, even while Adam was alive, it came to pass that the posterity of Cain became exceedingly wicked, everyone successively dying one after another more wicked than the former. They were intolerable in war and vehement in robberies, and if anyone were slow to murder people, yet was bold in his immoral behavior in acting unjustly and going injuries for gain. That's the type of people, the descendants of Cain. That's how they were characterized. And so the Jewish people that are hearing this from John are going to know this history of Cain. And that's who he's comparing them to. You're not loving people. You are a descendant of Cain. You're a descendant of this evil. John uses Cain as the epitome of treachery, as an example of how God's people must not regard each other. Christian faith generates active goodwill for others, not murderous impulses toward them. But not loving someone or loving someone is not a human virtue. It doesn't come naturally to us to love everyone, does it? Hopefully it comes naturally to love your children, at least in the beginning, right? But loving everyone, that's a totally different ballgame, isn't it? Even looking around the room, loving everyone in this room could be a challenge for some of you. Don't point. But when we show love for one another, we're showing that God's love lives within us. We're showing that we're doing what is right according to Jesus. And John sets up the comparison between Cain and Jesus. Cain reacted with hatred to a brother who was good, where Jesus responds with love to sinners who reject God. Cain takes another's life, and Jesus gives his life for others. Cain shows himself to be evil, and Jesus shows himself to be good and loving. John says, do not be like Cain, who belonged to the evil one and murdered his brother. Cain's actions betrayed that he did belong to the evil one, that he was not following God. And our actions also reveal our true character. Are we living in the light, or are we following the darkness? Because we can't be doing both. When we exhibit our love for God's children, then we demonstrate that we have God's love living within us and that we are walking in the light. When people see us loving others, even the unlovables, the untouchables, the downcasts, the outcasts of society, people will see that God's love is really living within us. In John's gospel, he records Jesus as saying, now I'm giving you a new commandment. Love each other. Just as I have loved you, you should love each other. Your love for one another will prove to the world that you are my disciples. In the Jewish letter of Aristides, there's a banquet that's described. And this Egyptian king poses difficult questions to Jewish scholars. And the king asks, to whom must one show favor? And the reply is, to his parents always, for God's very great commandment concerns the honor due parents. And next, and closely connected, God reckons the honor due to friends, calling the friend an equal of one's own self. You will do well if you bring all men into friendship with yourself. All men, all women into friendship with yourself. The idea is that we love others just like we love ourselves. It's been said that if you want to make a person feel some joy released in their brain, the endorphins released, all you have to do, say their name. That is the sweetest word for you to hear. If someone calls you by name in a loving way, that is the sweetest word that you can hear. When hatred, however, is living in us, we're showing that Christ is not living within us. We're showing that Jesus, though we may claim to be following Christ, if we're filled with hatred for others, Christ really has no part for us. There was a post on Facebook, and you know that goes down a rabbit hole real quick when you start with that, right? And it was talking about the Nebraska flooding, the horrible flooding that's taking place in Nebraska. And in the post it said the stat about they have the most rivers in the U.S. And then it said at the end, please pray for Nebraska and for all of the cattle and all the people that are being demolished by this flooding. Someone actually posted with their real name and said, I would if it was any other state, but it's Nebraska, so I'm going to have to say no and politely decline. I would if it was any other state, but it's Nebraska, so I'm going to have to say no and politely decline. You made a joke about being a football fan or not a football fan, but seriously? That's the kind of hatred that John's talking about. People hate people because they're from other states. People hate people because they like other football teams. People hate people because they look differently, they sound differently, they worship differently, they have a different skin color, they have a different sexual orientation. All of these things set up walls. And we say, no, we don't love you because of this. And we feel really justified in our reasons. But what's the difference between saying that and saying, sorry, I'm not going to pray for Nebraska? And I love that he's politely declining. As if I can politely choose to hate you. But we do this every day. I could stand up here and list people groups, different things, illegal immigrants, for example, and there would be people in here that would say, no, not praying for them. Not going to pray for them. Not going to pray for the criminals. Not going to pray for this group, that group. And when we say that, when there's any group of people that we say, no, I'm politely declining, I'm not going to pray for them, that reveals in our heart that we have hatred. And there is no room for hatred and for Jesus to coexist in our hearts. Anyone who hates another brother or sister is really a murderer at heart, is what John says. If we have hatred in our hearts, we are a murderer at hearts. Our inner motives and attitudes weigh seriously in God's moral economy. The way we treat other people matters to God. And because it matters to God, it should matter to us. When we show love, when we bring life to other people, that's showing that we're walking in the light. And regardless of how they respond to that, regardless of how they've hurt us, perhaps, or how we feel slighted by them, when we show love, we are showing Christ to them. Jenny mentioned the shooting in the mosque. Unfortunately, there are churches in America today that are not going to pray for them because they're Muslim. That is not showing Christ's love to our fellow brothers and sisters. What's our motivation for love? Our motivation has to be what Christ has already done for us. God sent Jesus as a complete act of love to show us what love looks like. Jesus died for you and for me, for all of the sins that we've committed, whether people know about them or not. All those things that you've done in secret that you think no one knows about. God knows about them. And God said, in spite of that garbage, in spite of that sin that you think is so secret, I'm still going to send my son to die for you. And in 2 Corinthians, Paul says God was in Christ reconciling the world to himself. God's love is shown in Christ. And our love needs to show Christian love to all people. Because Christian love is the reflection of the divine love. We're reflecting God's love to others as he has shown it to us. John says, if anyone says, I love God, yet hates his brother, he is a, what's the word? Liar. If you hate someone, fill in the blank. I hate blank. Then God's love doesn't live within you. And you are a liar, is what John is saying. A liar is someone who professes salvation, but lives and thinks contrary to the Christian faith. And the Christian faith is grounded on love. We must love our brothers and sisters. We must love our opponents. We must love those who are differently. And why should we do that? It's because God loves them too. God zealously loves all of his creation. Not with an asterisk by that. Not if you're this or that or this or that. He loves all of his children. And he showed that love to us through Jesus. This is how God showed his love among us. He sent his one and only Son into the world that we might live through him. Can we get God to love us any more or love us any less? Of course not. Our actions and our love is grounded in what Christ has already done for us. The love that he's already shown for each one of us. And John says in 4:10, this is real love. Not that we have loved God, but that he loved us. And sent as a sacrifice his son to take away our sins. Dear friends, since God loved us that much, we surely ought to love each other. God loves us so much, yet we're not willing to spread that love sometimes with certain people. They know, no, you're not worthy of God's love. You hear the arrogance in that? Saying, no, you're not worthy of God's love. You're not worthy of God's forgiveness. You're too much of a sinner. You've done too much. You've gone too far. You're not worshiping the true God. So therefore, you don't deserve God's love. Sometimes we think that being a Christian is about following the rules. And that if we don't follow the rules, then we're going to get punished. And that there's just, God's just waiting with a lightning bolt right there to strike. And I say that tongue in cheek, but there are people who think that. There was a student essay in the commentary from Gary Burge on the letters of John. And this is what the student wrote in his or her essay. I feel like God punishes me for sins all the time. I feel that there is always something I am being punished for. I know that it is impossible because there are not enough minutes in the day for God to punish us. I probably should not call it punishment, but that is the way I feel about God's justice. I know of God's love and blessings for me, and for that I am eternally grateful and thankful. But I live with this fear that one mess up and I will be punished again. How many of you have a view of God like that? That God is just waiting to punish you. And every bad thing that happens in your life is because God's punishing you. God doesn't work like that. God loves us now and forever. And God's love doesn't change. And you know what? Some people, when you talk about God's love and God's love being over all, say, well, that can't be right because then people could take advantage of God's love. And we can't live like that. We can't really love everyone because then people would just take advantage of us. And you know what the answer to that is? Yeah. That could happen. God's love is being taken advantage of all over the place. And when we show love to people, we can be taken advantage of. You give money to someone who needs money. You don't know if they're spending that money on what you gave them for, gave them that money for. They could be taking advantage of your generosity. Does that change our mandate about how we're supposed to love people? No. We have to love people no matter what. In all of 1 John, John is telling these people, you've got to love, you've got to love, you've got to love, because God loves you. And he talks about people walking in the darkness because they're not loving. But you know what he never says in all of 1 John? He never says, God is going to abandon you if you do not love. John never says that if you don't love people, God's going to stop loving you. He never says God's going to turn his back on you if you don't love. He says you're going to be walking in darkness, and you may have to pay for that choice, because every choice has a consequence. But God is still going to love you. And you may take advantage of that, and you may deceive yourself into thinking that you're following God, but God is not going to leave you. You can always turn back to God, no matter what. And that's the type of love that God gives us. It's a love without fear. Such love has no fear because perfect love expels all fear. If we are afraid, it is for fear of punishment. And this shows that we have not fully experienced his perfect love. Whenever our perception of God is shaped by fear and anxiety, worry perhaps over losing his affection, we have not plumbed the depths of his love. We have not experienced his commitment to us. To fail to express love means that we have not met such powerful divine love ourselves. Our relationship with God is not established by our obedience. It is demonstrated by our obedience. And our love that we show for others is grounded in the experience of love that we have all experienced because of Christ's grace. Love is an action. And love is a choice. Love is not just a feeling. You don't always feel like loving someone. But you choose to love them anyways. No matter what's happened in your life, if there's an affair in your marriage, you can still choose to love. If your boss is bad-mouthing you to the whole company, you can still choose to love. If a child rebels against you, says terrible lies about you, you can still choose to love. Because think of what Jesus has forgiven in you. Think of what Jesus has said, I still choose you. I still choose to love you, no matter what. Think about the Grinch, our very historically accurate character. What changes the Grinch in that story? The love of the little girl. Love is a powerful force. And when we choose to love, amazing and powerful things can happen. And we choose to love because God first chose to love us. We demonstrate love because Christ demonstrated that love to us. And to walk in the light, we must show love for our brothers and our sisters.
You've been listening to Pastor Kevin Daniels at Hayes Christian Church. Hayes Christian Church is a non-denominational fellowship in Hayes, Kansas. We are supported by the generosity of our members, attenders, and friends. The financial support we raise goes to projects which further spread the gospel to those who do not yet know Jesus, to local, national, and international missions, and they help to keep these podcasts free. If you'd like to share a monetary gift with us, please visit our webpage at hayeschristianchurch.org and click on the donate button. Or you may mail your gift to P.O. Box 1111, Hayes, Kansas 67601. If you have questions, comments, or would like more information, we would love to hear from you. Simply go to our webpage and click on the Contact Us form. Thank you for your generosity, and may God bless you as you seek to follow Him.